Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today on Facebook and on YouTube. And we are broadcasting live right now on omegaradio.org and on blogtalkradio.com/xman777. The call-in number today is 818-369-0326. We're going to have an hour and a half, 90 minutes to get into some of the conversation that I find it to be very exciting, quite frankly. We're going to be looking at a prophecy in the book of Daniel, chapter 11 and chapter 12. And it's absolutely amazing from our perspective for where we are right now. And I think it's going to reveal many things. I have a number of news articles that I want to share with you. I kind of touched on them lightly yesterday, but time was going by quickly. So we're going to look at a few articles. We'll have the prophecy in the book of Daniel, chapter 11 and 12. And also, I wanted to begin the broadcast today just talking about the love of Jesus Christ, the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the revelation, knowledge, and understanding that there is coming a time on this earth. Let us never lose sight of this. There is coming a time on this earth where the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, even as the waters cover the sea. Ladies and gentlemen, there will be a new heaven, there will be a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Our generation should be hastening that day. We want the day of the Lord to come, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, because we know that on the other side of this moment, the second coming, as we call the Lord Jesus, manifesting, revealing himself from heaven, coming in the clouds of heaven with the angels of God, the trumpet blast of the voice of the archangel. We know that the resurrection of the dead will take place. We know that those alive and remaining beyond the great tribulation will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And I know that this is going to be a great gathering and that the wrath of God will be poured out upon the earth after the resurrection, after there's a catching up of the church, the harpazo, and we are with the Lord, then on this earth, the seven vials of the wrath of God will go forward. We know that biblically, we know that scripturally, and we have to say it because sometimes we get so, you know, centric, we get so focused, and we get this tunnel vision into what we see and hear right now that we forget the broader plan of Yahweh, our Father. And the broader plan of God is that he's coming back to rightfully claim what is his. This earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The time is coming where the beast, the false prophet, the great red dragon, mystery Babylon, and every other opposition against the purposes of God will be eradicated and destroyed once and for all. And during that 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ and his church governing the earth in righteousness, we know that Satan himself will be bound for 1,000 years. There he will be put into a pit, a chain will bind him, and he will not have the ability to deceive the nations during that millennial day, that 1,000-year millennial reign. And then we know that during that 1,000 years, you and I, people who are the overcomers, what Jesus said is some of us will be ruling 5 cities, some of us will be governing 10 cities. God is going to have his government all over this earth. And you shouldn't see it as a cartoon. This earth is going to undergo a restoration. There is going to be a great restitution of all things at the right time. So the world will come under the sovereign control of the government of Jesus Christ on this earth after, of course, the Great Tribulation, the period that's mounting up right now. We see the waves and the winds are blowing in the sea of humanity in turmoil. So we're recognizing the times. And when we study Daniel chapter 11 today and 12, I believe we're going to become more aware of what is happening in the world today. And it should produce great hope in the heart of God's kids. In spite of all the articles and the events that are taking place, there are some major events that are going to transpire, and we need to recognize them so that we can line them up with Scripture, and then we could go forward. Hey, listen, are you in the right place at the right time right now, doing the right thing with the right people? Are you exactly where you're supposed to be right now? Are you ready to go? Are you preparing? Are you getting strong spirit, soul, and body? Are you walking with a community of believers with like-mindedness? Are you working out your salvation with fear and trembling? Are you carrying your cross? Does the grace of God have place in your life? Is the mercy of God at work in you for those areas where you've been weak in, where he could come alongside, lift you up, strengthen you, and perfect those areas and make you strong in the areas that you were once weak in? Is God doing a work in your life, and is it active? Are you operative? Are you available? Are you ready for an assignment? Do you know what your calling is in this last hour upon this earth? I know it's been the last hour for a very long time. I remember nearly 30 years ago, people were putting the hour hand and the minute hand at 1 minute till midnight. Well, you know, in the economy of heaven, a day is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as 1 day. So if we were at, a minute till midnight 30 years ago, man, we're seconds away, right? But everything is happening in the economy of God. The Bible is in control, the narrative, because it's God's Spirit who wrote that word and foreknowledged everything going on. And so you and I are here. And what an amazing time to be alive. Genuinely, what an amazing time to be alive. Not an easy time. Not a time where we're not going to experience harsh things and feel the weight and the impact of what's going on around the world. But our job is not to sit back eating popcorn, watching everything going on and doing nothing. God forbid. Tell the person next to you, God forbid. No, we are working out our salvation. Just that alone is a daily job. So you have been employed, the Spirit of God has been employed in you to work out the salvation. In other words, this is the time as you and I take up our cross to slay and vanquish every enemy within our soul, whether it is the spirit of offense or fear or jealousy or pride or lust or greed, or any other thing that is operating or alive within our soul, we need to apply the cross and kill it. The only antidote to an unruly flesh nature is the cross of Jesus Christ. And you and I have been called to take up our cross and follow the Lord. Remember when the masses were following Jesus, and finally he turned around and said, listen, unless you take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciples. They had been following the Lord to get what they could from him. He had been feeding them and taking care of them. but he wanted them to know, you cannot be my disciple without taking up your cross, which means a total nullification of your dreams, your thoughts, your plans, your life. To be a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, means he leads you. He guides you. He takes you into the destiny that he has for you. This is not about what you and I get from him. It's about following him into whatever he wants to lead us into. And he is the great shepherd. We could trust him that when we follow him, he's going to lead us into the fruitful fields of abundance. Even when we go into the valley of the shadow of death, he's going to prepare a table before us in the midst of our enemies. We can always trust the Lord. We can always trust him, but we've got to carry the cross. Why? Because we have a carnal mind. We have a human nature that opposes the purpose of Christ in our lives. So the cross is the power of God unto salvation to eradicate, vanquish, and slay the enmity. Hallelujah. So that we can walk in the newness of life, born again, spirit-filled, new creations, being transformed by the renewing of our mind, being conformed into the very image of the firstborn son, Jesus the Christ. Oh, the glorious gospel of Jesus. What an amazing thing. So, I say that to you today to keep you focused in the broader picture. One day, very soon, beyond the Great Tribulation, this earth is going to undergo a massive outpouring of the wrath of God. We will not be here for that if we have overcome and we have been part of that resurrection and that harpazo, that catching away the church. We will not be here for the day of God's wrath. Remember, the tribulation is not God's wrath. The tribulation is the wrath of the dragon. Put this in context. It's very important. So, the earth, beyond that massive outpouring of the wrath of God, the Lord will return. He will bind up the false prophet and the beast, Revelation 19, cast them into a lake of fire, and then will begin the greatest restoration that the world has ever known. In fact, I have here in Acts chapter 3, let me just read to you what I'm referring to. In Acts chapter 3, it says in verse 20, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive. That's where Jesus is right now, in heaven. And the heavens must receive him or keep him until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Yes, there will be a time of the restitution or restoration, but restitution is all about payback. It's about getting things back to where they belong. The restitution of all things will come when the Lord returns. He shall send Jesus Christ, but the heavens must keep him until the times of restitution of all things, which will begin in that 1,000-year millennial reign, because this earth is going to go through a great tribulation. It's going to go through the wrath of God, the outpouring of the seven vials, and beyond that, we will see the ecclesia coming back with Yeshua, riding on his white horse, bringing his armies to come back to this earth. What does that look like in our understanding? It's probably beyond anything we could ever dream, but it's a moment you belong to. It is a moment that you are a part of, and we must be patient right now as to not get prematurely involved with things that are not our concern. There will be a time when the armies of heaven, the armies of God, the commander-in-chief of the army of God are going to lead his army into real battle to take over this earth. You and I are preparing for that moment. Do not move prematurely in getting involved in what you see rising all around you. I would caution you. And at this moment, this is where my heart is. I believe it's scriptural. And so here is the patience of the saints. Here's the time where we go low and we go with fortitude and our foreheads like flint to go through the times that we are living in. He who endures to the end shall be saved. I don't want to forfeit my eternal inheritance for a moment of fleshly stuff. You know what I'm talking about? So here we go. So let's get into a little bit more of the conversation. I believe that God is going to drop pearls throughout this entire morning. And so, hallelujah, praise the Lord, good morning, and God bless each and every one of you. You're a warrior. I understand you're a warrior. And that warring spirit you have, first of all, has to engage in the wrestling match in your own soul. Don't ever forget that. If you are not being the warrior under the inspiration of Jesus Christ in your own life to wrestle with your flesh, to wrestle with that carnal mind, to wrestle against those principalities and powers, those demonic forces, if you're not wrestling there first and being the warrior there, it doesn't matter what happens on the outside. You have to allow what Jesus Christ did on the cross to have an impact in your life, which means you are not a slave to sin. You fight, you war, you battle against your own human flesh nature, which if you leave unattended or unchecked, will undermine the purpose of God for your life. Because it is an unruly, deadly evil. That little tongue there, smallest member of your body, sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire itself of hell. So if you're not wrestling your own tongue, if you're not bringing it into subjection, if you're not beating down your flesh by the power of the cross of Jesus Christ, if you're not overcoming sin in your life, you're not ready for anything. To go out there and just fight isn't going to be accomplishing anything. First, let's get cleaned up as the ecclesia. First, and I'm going to show you how it works. There's a prophecy here that's going to detail what God is going to do in your life and in my life. So I'm not advocating fear or cowardice of any kind. I'm saying, wait, the time will come where all the holy, righteous vengeance of Almighty God will be downloaded in his people. And like it says in Corinthians, that when our obedience is complete, then we will revenge all disobedience. But if we are not complete yet, if we're still gossiping and we're acting like little old ladies talking to one another all the time about everybody else, but we're not paying attention to ourselves, you're not ready. You're not ready, and you've got issues. If you got fear, anxiety, pride, offense, none of that will work for us. We have got to master our fleshly desires. We have to rule over them, in other words. That's the city of temperance. We're working on that at New Wine Ministries, and you should be working on the same. We have got to get ourselves ready. And I know that it begins in the spirit. It begins in the mind. It begins in the soul, the emotions, the intellect. This is super important, saints of the living God. And if you're not careful, you're going to go prematurely into something you're not ready for, and you're going to lose your life, and you're going to lose the rewards of an overcomer. You must be an overcomer concerning the world, the flesh, and the devil. This is an intrinsic inward battle that all Christians everywhere are to fight. Your time of releasing and expressing the righteous judgment of God and vengeance of God will come at the right time. So let's get it right. I'm telling you, you can't keep hearing this message and then keep doing the same thing. You cannot ignore what God is saying, nor can I, and keep doing the things that we've always done and saying, oh yeah, I agree, but not doing anything. For he who hears and does not change or do deceives himself. And we've been talking about gossip for a long time. The better thing to do right now to become a real warrior, shut your mouth. If all you do is talk about everybody else, shut your mouth. Be quiet. Grab that unruly tongue of yours and put a lock on it and a harness. And if you're a super emotional person, you got to deal with that emotion. You need to not allow emotion to come out of you. You've got to bring it to the cross, and you have to ask the Holy Spirit to sanctify your soul, which is your emotion, your mind, your will, your intellect. You've got to ask the Holy Spirit to do a work inside of you. I'm telling you, this is important. I love you, and I'm working it out myself, and God loves you, and he's telling you something, and don't ignore him. Don't ignore him. The time will come. but we've got to be prepared. We must really be ready in our spirit, soul, and body so that we could be just like Jesus, just like Yeshua. When he walked on this earth, he was in total command over everything. He commanded the weather. He commanded death. He commanded blindness, sickness, disease. He was walking in the spirit. He did nothing unless he first saw his Father do it. He said nothing until he heard his Father say it. You and I must be conformed into his image. That is a supernatural work. It's impossible for us to do, but God has given us the supernatural can do through the Holy Spirit, okay? So I'm going to leave it there, and I say that very kindly. Good morning. God bless you. And I mean it with all of my heart. This is just an expression of concern that we must make sure that we see ourselves, because I guarantee you, you don't see yourself like other people do. And if there are other people in your life that have a little more discernment than you, they read you just fine. People see you by the Spirit, and they're trying to communicate with you. There are areas in your life that aren't right. People see our pride. They see our jealousy. They see our lust. They see our anger. They see all these things that are going on in our lives because they have discernment. They see it, but we don't see it. We don't even comprehend it. We think we're something other than. Man, I just told a story last night how I was convinced that I was right about an issue, but my beloved wife, Patricia, who's my rib, and that meaning of a wife to her husband is get in his face. Well, my wife got in my face on an issue, and I didn't like it very much, and I resisted it until God later on revealed to me that what she was saying was absolutely true. I didn't see it. I didn't think it was that way. And I'm telling you right now, man, you've got to get around people that have some x-ray vision and discernment, and you need to allow them to speak into your life. But if you have an intimidating external area, what you're doing is protecting something. So you have to humble yourself and beg God to shine light in your heart and in your mind to expose the demonic and the darkness that may be there that will undermine your journey in the days ahead. What's the big deal? So what? Somebody tells us we got issues. So what? God forbid we don't let people tell us what's wrong with us. And then when they do and God reveals it, if we don't do anything to bring transformation to it, we're going to walk in deception, and that's not cool. And I think you would agree with that. So let's get into some stuff here. Let's get into some stuff here. And, you know, at least one thing, you know, if you're listening to this broadcast right now, you're hearing the truth. I know you know that. God forbid you look to somebody on the left. God forbid you look to somebody on the right and said they have issues. Man, you haven't looked in your own heart yet. You are not being viewed properly by yourself. And by staying away from the microscope of God's word, that's the first place you got to go. Really, reading the scriptures is an exposure to what's in our heart. The word of God is a mirror to us, but we also have the Holy Spirit to bring compunction, a little conviction when we do something we shouldn't do. Are we paying attention to the Holy Spirit's prompting? Are we listening? Are we carefully listening? Are we reading the word of God and it's exposing our attitudes, our conduct? What kind of fruit are we bearing? Are we walking in the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Is it real, consistent? Because anybody could put on for a period of time. But we're talking about the eternal character of Christ being installed and built into our lives so that we become that. And that overwhelms all of our humanity and flesh. Okay. We talk more about this in our meetings, and it's important. It's so important. Man, I'm judging myself. I'm looking at myself, and I just feel this urgency to tell Christian men and women, God's people, this is the way it has to be. Don't you prematurely get out there and think you're going to go and do battle right now physically. Not until you and I are chosen, sanctified vessels, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work concerning the kingdom of God. All right, so let's focus. Let's now just shift for a moment. I want to talk about what is going on. Then we're going to get to this prophecy in the book of Daniel chapter 11. And here we go. I want to begin with something I read yesterday, and I feel like it's super important, so I'm going to slow it down. We've got time, and I want to just remind you, and we could put this all together, Now, no one's offended, right? You're not angry. You're not messed up, right? If it hurts, it's okay. It's okay if it hurts. If the truth hurts, then let it hurt. I know how that works. I've been getting it a lot in my whole life, okay? So here we go. This is from the Washington Examiner. Brother Daniel Seckham, yesterday on this broadcast, brought it up. But I want to read to you the article. I want you to hear the article. And someone once said on radio, you know, you shouldn't read a lot. I don't know if that's right or wrong. I feel this is important, so here we go. And I could actually share it with you on the screen. Maybe I'll do that. So let me just... Let's share the screen, and we'll go to this tab here, and we're going to go to here we go. All right, so I'm going to share it so you can see it now. It's on screen, and it says, China develops weapons to fry U.S. electric grid. Do you see that? If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, you can see that. So again, China develops weapons to fry U.S. electric grid eyes high-tech Pearl Harbor attack. That's the article. Now, if I come on down here, let's read it. That's the headline. With the help of stolen U.S. technology, China has developed at least three types of high-tech weapons to attack the electric grid and key technologies in a surprise Pearl Harbor assault that could send America into a deadly blackout, according to a new analysis. According to the report from the independent EMP Task Force on National and Homeland Security, China has built a network of satellites, high-speed missiles, and super electromagnetic pulse weapons that could melt down the U.S. electric network, fry critical communications, and stifle aircraft carrier groups. Now, again, this article was shared first. I heard it yesterday from Daniel Seckham. He mentioned it. Last night, we turned on True News before going to bed. Rick Wiles had Mr. Pry, who's going to be in this article here in just a moment. And he is the head of this task force for years, was ahead of it, the EMP task force. And he was on Rick's program, and they were talking about this. I thought it was amazing. It's very real, especially when we take it in light of prophecy and the fourth wave in this present phase of judgment. Let's go on. It goes on to say, according to the report from the independent EMP task force. Oh, I already read that. Okay. So according to the report written by the task force's executive director, Peter Pry, long an expert on EMP warfare, China developed the weapons as part of its total information warfare that includes hacking raids on computers. What's more, despite China's promise to attack only after being attacked, Pry revealed new data to show that the communist nation is lying and eager to shoot first with high-altitude electromagnetic pulse, or HEMP is what they call that, weapons launched from satellites, ships, and land. This is not new conversation. People were talking about this for the last 20, 30 years. It's not new conversation. It's just almost like what was being spoken is now coming to crescendo, and the reality is ready to release. And I find it amazing, again, that the communist nation of China is probably salivating over the communist movement going on in the United States, because we have shown and proven, because of good people out there sharing really good information, that this is a communist agenda taking place in the country right now. It is not a race war. What we are witnessing is communism. It is the playbook of communists in order to take down a nation because of our collective sin and our conscience. We're not really ready to stand against what's taking place. But China's watching. Let's continue on. The article goes on to say China's military doctrine, including numerous examples presented here of using hemp attacks to win on the battlefield, defeat U.S. aircraft carriers, and achieve against the U.S. homeland a surprise Pearl Harbor writ large, is replete, this is their agenda, with technical and operational planning consistent with a nuclear first strike, said Pry in his report provided to Secrets. It is shown below. So they have this little picture down there, as you can see, and it says in a 2003 photo, let me just read that. If you can see that picture right around here, it says in a Thursday, August 14, 2003 file photo, the city of Cleveland sits in the dark except for emergency lights in the federal courthouse, which is on the left, and the SBC building far right, after a massive power outage struck the eastern United States and parts of Canada 10 years after a blackout cascading from Ohio affected 50 million people. Utilities and analysts say changes made in the aftermath make a similar outage unlikely today, though shifts in where and how power is generated raise new reliability concerns for the U.S. electric grid system. So what you're looking at in that picture is what it looks like to have no lights on. Okay. Now, Mr. Pry added this. He added that while some believe China's promise not to fire first, there are key U.S. officials who don't buy it. For example, he cited February 2020 testimony from the chief of U.S. Strategic Command, Adam Charles Richard, who said that he could drive a truck through China's no first use policy. In other words, there's a big hole in the gap, right? Big gap there. Pry has helped awaken the nation to the threat posed by an EMP attack, either from a military foe or solar event. Once a concern that resulted in eye rolling by officials in Washington, the Pentagon and President Trump take the threat seriously and are slowly moving to build protections from an attack. Those efforts come as China, Russia, North Korea, and Iran move to build and deploy the weapons, which essentially launch a nuclear weapon into the atmosphere to explode and disable electronics below, including flying aircraft. So they detonate high above the altitude, and it affects everything below. A report done while Pry was a key member of a congressional EMP commission years ago found that an EMP attack on the East Coast electric grid could lead to the death of 90% of the population within a year from looting, a lack of food and water, and desperation attacks. Even short electrical blackouts, such as the one in New York in 1977, resulted in looting. And I think we see very clearly that there is an element within our society that will not be peaceful at times like these. Get ready, saints of God. Be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now is the continual admonition of the Lord. Now, in his new 14-page report, he outlined China's weaponry. Here it is. First is a super EMP weapon built with stolen U.S. military technology. It is a nuclear warhead on a missile that could be used against ships and on the battlefield, he said. He cited a Chinese Army news article that said an attack would be like a 21st century Pearl Harbor. It said, and here's the quote, a highly computerized, open society like the United States is extremely vulnerable to electronic attacks from all sides. This is because the U.S. economy, from banks to telephone systems and from power plants to iron and steel works, relies entirely on computer networks. Second are hypersonic weapons, including missiles, that can send a warhead at five times the speed of sound to a target. And third is the development of EMP satellites I remember my brother Don used to tell us about the North Koreans had a satellite that was just kind of wandering around, and that it probably was armed with the capability to bring EMP. Well, now China is the development of EMP satellites armed with nuclear weapons that can float for years in the sky, said Pry. The U.S. should be very concerned about a scenario where China uses nuclear space weapons, perhaps ICBMs and IRBMs, with specialized warheads to quickly sweep the skies of U.S. satellites, even at the risk of losing PRC satellites, which could then be replaced with a surge of satellites launched by China to capture the higher frontier and cripple U.S. military capabilities. Wow. All right. So there's a lot of information here, as you'll see, and I'm not going to get into all of it, but there is a document here is what we're looking at of the EMP threat, China EMP threat. Look at this. If you're seeing it online, that's huge. And let me just get back up here for a moment. So here's the document, and you see it all outlined, China EMP threat. It goes into all these different parts. China has EMP weapons. So this is the report, the 16-page report that Dr. Pry sent out. So where do we go from here? That's the report, what's going on in China. Okay, the saber rattling, the sword of war, the third wave to hit the United States of America is right there. But there's another report. I want to get to it real quick. And the other report is what we just saw. And let me share the screen here, and I'll just put it up there one more time. And let's go to this report. This is about North Korea. And if you see on the screen, North Korea threatens sensational event to end America. Gosh, when did that happen? Well, this is from June 22nd, 3 days ago. And here's what the article actually says. A statement from North Korea's embassy in Moscow observing the 70th anniversary of the still ongoing Korean War this weekend threatened a sensational event leading to the destruction of the United States. Wow. Here's the article. And this is from Breitbart News, by the way. North Korea routinely threatened nuclear attacks on America for much of the past decade, peaking in intensity around 2016 and 17. Pyongyang's communist regime issued many of those threats in the form of videos simulating nuclear attacks on Washington, D.C. and other major American cities. Following its most recent nuclear attack in September of 2017, however, the United Nations approved of strict sanctions on North Korea that have crippled its economy and apparently limited its ability to threaten free states. The belligerent statement out of Moscow follows a turbulent week in which the North Koreans bombed a joint liaison office with the South in Kaesong, built exclusively with South Korean money, and have since refused any talks with the leftist government of President Moon Jae-in. Dictator Kim Jong-un has apparently tasked his sister, Kim Yo-jong, with leading the propaganda charge against the South, as Kim has signed her name on several insulting statements targeting Moon. Russia's TASS news agency reported the statement out of North Korea's outpost in Moscow on Saturday, stating it was sent to the agency directly from the embassy. Here's the quote. This year, the U.S. military is deploying all sorts of military maneuvers in South Korea and in the areas adjacent to it. The North Korean embassy in Moscow reportedly stated, without specifying that maneuvers it was referring to since Seoul and Washington have paused military activities, it instead highlighted its possession of nuclear weapons, which are capable of mercilessly punishing those who dare to raise their hand at it in whatever corner of the planet he may be. End of quote. A new round of the Korean War will add a particularly sensational event to the history of mankind, which will put an end to another empire whose name is the United States, the statement reported, concluded. All right, so there it is. And there's more to this article, and it's a little bit too much for me to be reading right now. But here we have, again, a threat coming from China, a threat coming from North Korea. We know that the Islamic threat is very real against the United States because we are protecting of Israel. And the prophecy we're about to read, I believe, is so amazing because it's really detailing everything that we see taking place and we find ourselves personally, corporately, at a time when this prophecy is about to be fulfilled. I mean, you start thinking about all the different regimes, all the different powerful nations around the world. And what are you reading? What are you seeing? It's prophecy. It's found in the scriptures. The Word of God has detailed these events. We now witness unrest around the world. We are witnessing in our nation the beginning of a rise of the silent majority. Be careful not to take a side. The Patriot movement in America will rise, and it's already beginning to rise with what is called a righteous indignation, because they've been watching what's been happening to the cities of America. So the Patriot movement will rise, but this is where there's going to be a deployment of more sophisticated players, because this is what they've been waiting for. And if the patriots in this country don't do anything and they just continue to stand by and watch it happen, it won't end. And we're going to see just that downslide more and more, quicker and quicker. So there's going to be a contending. It's mounting. This is going to usher in the third wave. The sword of war is going to be released domestically and abroad. This is what God has been speaking by his spirit. The fourth wave will bring out the lights out. So where do we find this in prophecy? Where are we? Well, if you're ready, I'm ready. And I want to go to Daniel chapter 11. So what we're doing is we're just bearing witness through the biblical lens at the signs of the times of what we see. So with that said, I want to head on over to Daniel chapter 11. And I want to just read a statement real quick, a statement that came concerning Daniel chapter 11. I was doing a little research. I'm not an expert on Daniel chapter 11 or on anything else for that matter. But this is what I did find in some very excellent commentaries concerning Daniel chapter 11. Now, we're not going to read the whole chapter. We're going to pick it up at a certain point. But here's what the commentary says about Daniel 11. All this, chapter 11, is a prophecy of the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes, the little horn spoken of before, a sworn enemy to the Jewish religion and a bitter persecutor of those that adhered to it. What troubles the Jews met with in the reigns of the Persian kings were not so particularly foretold to Daniel as these, because then they had living prophets with them, Haggai and Zechariah, to encourage them. But these troubles in the days of Antiochus were foretold because before that time, prophecy would cease and they would find it necessary to have recourse to the written word. Some things in this prediction concerning Antiochus are alluded to in the New Testament predictions of the Antichrist, especially verse 36 and 7. And as it is usual with the prophets, when they foretell the prosperity of the Jewish church, to make use of such expressions as were applicable to the kingdom of Christ, and insensibly to slide into a prophecy of that. So when they foretell the troubles of the church, they make use of such expressions as have a further reference to the kingdom of the Antichrist, the rise and ruin of that. In other words, the prophecy in Daniel 11 is a foreshadowing of what will be in the last days. In fact, you're going to see similarities of Daniel chapter 11's prophecy with the book of Revelation. So having said that, let's go to Daniel chapter 11, and let's take a look at verse 36. And there, we could go so far back. It's pretty awesome stuff, quite frankly. But this is dealing with the last days and end time prophecy. Daniel 11:36. The king shall do according to his will. Here we're talking, this king will be the Antichrist in prophecy. He will do according to his will. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. Don't we see that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? When we see the Antichrist, the son of perdition, the man of sin, standing in the holy place, right? So here in Daniel 11:36, the king shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. We see this in Revelation 13, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Isaiah 14. This is none other than Lucifer embodied in a being. And then it goes on to say that he shall prosper. In other words, he's going to be successful till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. And you're going to see in just a moment that he's going to be given 3.5 years. In other words, he's going to be successful and prosper during the 3.5 year great tribulation. Verse 37 says this, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Obviously, he's referring to Satan himself. The son of perdition is giving glory to perdition. Okay, so he's honoring. This is intense prophecy. And as I said, I'm not an expert, but we see this is the absolute description of the Antichrist spoken of in 2 Thessalonians 2 and in Revelation 13. Then he says in verse 39, thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange god, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain. It's almost like everybody, you know, the great red dragon gave power to the beast. Okay, so the beast kind of is a worshiper of the dragon, and you kind of see that being laid out here. Verse 40 says this, and at that time of the end, and at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. So when the 3.5 year great tribulation is over, there's going to be a move from the south and from the east, which is very, or from the north. And there's going to begin this wrath of God reality is going to begin to be poured out. Then it says in verse 41, he shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power, talking of the Antichrist, over the treasures, over gold and of silver, and over all precious things of Egypt, and Libyans and Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. And then finally, verse 45, he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end and none shall help him. This is important to what we're about to read. This is referring to the Great Tribulation in the last days. This is about Antichrist. And one day I'm going to do an extensive study on this, hopefully even next week, and find some people that have gone deep into this study and let them really talk to us. But in the outline, I believe it's very clear we're talking about the book of Revelation, the final tribulation, the Great Tribulation, the Antichrist that will come to power, and how it will manifest on this earth. Now what we want to do is go to Daniel chapter 12, because this is what I wanted you to hear. I wanted you to hear this, and then we'll open the lines. We'll talk a little bit. And at that time, and that phrase there, and at that time in Daniel 12:1 actually means when that event takes place. In other words, when we see the Antichrist and rise to the Great Tribulation, listen to what he says. This is about you now. This is what you and other believers around the world, from Jerusalem, Israel, to the ends of the earth, this is what you need to know. At that time, in other words, when this event comes, when this king comes, who will worship nobody but himself and exalt himself above God, when he comes, shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble. We've been talking a lot about trouble in the last couple of days, if you've been watching and following along. Mark chapter 13 talks about the time of troubles, mob sedition. That was very interesting. But again, there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. And that word actually means escape. Let me tell you what it says here in the definition in the Hebrew. It's malat. And that word actually means to slip away. There will be a people slipping away, escaping. Remember what Yeshua said. He said, pray that you be found worthy to escape all these things that are coming on the earth. For like a snare shall it come upon the whole earth, and they shall not escape. So, but here it says that thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. All right, so let's get this right. The Great Tribulation will come. The Antichrist will be in power. You'll see here in just a moment, he has 3.5 years. And you'll see in chapter 11, by the way, it talks the same thing about 3.5 years, his time of indignation. There will be an escape for those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay, they will slip away, not in a pre-tribulational rapture. That's not what it's saying. After the Great Tribulation, there will be a harpazo, a catching away of the church. Now, it says in Daniel 12:2, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. To me, that's the resurrection. That takes place immediately after the Great Tribulation. So the people that are found in the book, the people shall be delivered. Many will be resurrected, some to eternal life and some to eternal damnation. We just read that. And verse 3 says this, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So this is the time to be wise. This is the time to turn many to righteousness, who is Yeshua. This is the time, not later, now. Wise concerning the times that we're living in. Let the wisdom of God and the wisdom of Scripture, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, take over our lives. Then it says in verse 4, okay, so he gives this little download from chapter 11 all the way into Daniel chapter 12. And in verse 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. So the book will be sealed to the time of the end. Book of Revelation chapter 6 is when the prophecy begins, when he opens the first seal. He's going to be opening a sealed book. Now, seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, you know that that is an amazing prophecy, that knowledge, technology, the times we're living in right now will be multiplied. We're seeing an exponential continuation of knowledge just exploding right now. We are the generation that was being spoken of. Then he says this, and if you put this all together, we have the time of great tribulation. We have the people of God during that time being wise, turning many to righteousness. We know that it's telling us that after the 3.5 years, tribulation is going to hit the Antichrist system. We know that, and God's wrath will be poured out. We also know that there will be a resurrection after, immediately after the Great Tribulation. Now, in verse 5, now verse 4 was important because it had so many Hebrew ideas and thought that it's talking about many running to and fro. Let me just tell you what that actually says in the Hebrew. It's the shoot, okay? And it literally means that there will be people that will be pushing forth, that people will be rowing. It means to travel, okay? So the word travel, in our generation, we understand travel. We're the most traveling generation in the history of the world. Nobody's been able to travel like us since this generation. We travel all over the world. So travel is there, people running to and fro. Knowledge is increased, it's multiplied. Verse 5, then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven and swore by him that lives forever and ever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time, or a half. That's 3.5 years in Bible prophecy. It's consistent. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So again, a direct understanding of the great tribulation, 3.5 years, this king, this Antichrist, this son of perdition, this man of sin, this Lucifer, will have power on the earth. And what will he do? He will scatter. He will accomplish to scatter the power of the holy people. And in Revelation 13, he will have power over the saints. He's given power over the saints. So we have a direct prophecy. Then it goes on, Daniel 12:8, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Man, we're living in the time of the end right now, and the book is unsealed. The book of Revelation is open. The seals have opened. At least 5 seals have opened, particularly in our generation. We've studied that before. We'll do it again. Then he said, in verse 10, and this is where I thought it was very important for you and I to get this. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. Now that goes back to Revelation chapter 7 when John saw in chapter 7 a great multitude of saints who came out of great tribulation having washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And he says, during this tribulation time in verse 10, many shall be purified. And that word purified simply means bara. It means purged. It means to be cleansed, polished, to make bright, to be tested and proved. Okay, that's what the great tribulation is going to do amongst many of what we call the church today. In fact, an untold multitude of people are going to go into the great tribulation, and it's going to purge, it's going to cleanse, polish, test the metal of the people. There will be a people that will be exempt from the Great Tribulation. They will not go into it. We'll talk about that in just a moment as well. But here, many, the majority, will be purified and made white. And again, that phrase there is the lavan, and it means to become pure, to grow, to become purified. Okay, so made white, clean in spirit, clean in heart. Then he says, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Are you and I understanding right now that we are marching towards this moment of the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth, and it's going to bring a cleansing to our garments? It's going to bring a cleansing to our soul. We are going to be purified the way that they test metals. They say in the book of Revelation, the lake of fire is a place where they test the metals. It's called the touchstone. And that's when the heat and the purification processes go in to test it, whether it's true or not. Christians around the world are going into the Great Tribulation. And we are going to be tested. Those who go into that Great Tribulation are going to be tested to our metal. Are we real? Do we need cleansing and purging? And you know why, quite frankly? Because during the church age, preachers stopped preaching the purification message. Preachers stopped preaching holiness and righteousness and repentance and confession and taking up the cross. We exchange the value of what's really going to matter for a prosperity doctrine that doesn't matter, because money is not going to save you in the last days. You're going to die, and if you don't die in the right direction, you're going to take nothing with you. It's not important. The prosperity doctrine was a doctrine of demons to get people off guard, truly, sincerely. It really was, and it still is. Yet, we're told, many shall be tried. Many will be made white. Many will be purified. But the wicked, you're seeing it, evil men will wax worse and worse, said Paul to his son in the faith, Timothy, in the last days. They're not going to get better. So the wicked will do wickedly. None of the wicked shall understand. The people in the world right now, they don't have a clue what they're involved in right now. They don't know that they're part of the end time great tribulation. They don't know how the enemy is using them and setting them up for eternal disaster. They don't know, but they're going to continue to do what is evil. And if you get to save a few of them along the way, praise God for every soul that is saved. And then we're told in verse 11, and from that time, or from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, which is in reference to the temple, and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, that's when the Antichrist goes into the temple, there shall be 1,290 days. That's 1,290 days. 3.5 years is 1,260 days. This is an extra 30 days for something to be accomplished here. Probably the transition period, because I do believe immediately after the 1,260 days, 42 months, 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, where the dead in Christ will rise, there will be a catching away of the church. And so they have a 30-day period, and then something else begins, which I personally believe will be Revelation 16, the outpouring of the wrath of God upon the nations. And then it says in verse 12, blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,305 and 30 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in your lot at the end of your days. So Daniel hears the revelation, write it down in a book, and Daniel does. Now, I want to go back to Daniel chapter 11 just for a moment, because there was a scripture there that I thought was very, very, very powerful concerning you and I, and I hope I can find it here. It says, just for a moment, let me find this, because it's talking about the again, the cleansing of the church, a real cleansing of the church. But I'm not going to find it right now, so I'm just going to have to wait. But it talks so beautifully about how God is going to use this time to clean up his ecclesia. And I can't find it right now, so I'm just going to let it pass. All right, so here's what I'd like to do for just a moment. We've talked about a number of things. I want to open the telephone lines, first of all, if you have any questions or comments. Maybe you would like to share any thoughts or ideas about Daniel 11 or 12, about Revelation 13, 2 Thessalonians 2, how it's all mounting up, how it's all growing into a reality around us. Before I go any further, again, the number to call is 818-369-0326. I want to say good morning to Brenda Torville. Good morning to you, Sister Brenda. Cindy, good morning. Thank you for the blessing. God bless you as well. Good morning to my brother, Ian Rood, who was on Kerm Radio with me yesterday, did an outstanding job. And good morning to Keith Carey. Good morning, Pastor Vincent, he says. Thank you for sharing the word yesterday. It meant for me, Colossians 3, 1-3, set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Amen. That's what we're trying to do, Keith, is get everybody's mind on things above. Look at Scripture, see what's going on. Sharon Evans is saying good morning. Good morning to you, Sharon. Cherie Payton. Hello, Cherie. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. Kevin Hauger saying good morning to everybody. Good morning to you, Kevin. And our dear sister and friend, Sonia, saying good morning and shalom, saints. And good morning and shalom to you. Kevin Hauger says, Michael Swift, Angus die. I don't know exactly what you mean there, but praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. All right, so Scarlett Dill, good morning, Sister Scarlett. How are you, our hostess with the mostest? She says, good morning, Pastor Vincent. Looking forward to hearing about the millennial kingdom. This is not taught in churches anymore. Well, you're right on, and we're going to talk more about it here in just a little bit. And so, Denny, good morning and shalom, dear saints, from Denny and Sally. Good morning to our dear friends and saints, Denny and Sally. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in with us once again. Now, Joseph, all should check Tim Foster, 405, his new video on Ezekiel, timeline in the church. Joseph, we'll make sure we get that information out. Thanks for sharing it. And then there's another thought here from Sonia. Pray, brethren, for the indwelling Spirit of God, that we may really see the man, woman in the mirror and make the changes he wants us to make. He will help us. That's referring to our inward transformation. Way to go, Sonia, right on. All right, James King, welcome to the broadcast. Good morning. James says, Pastor Vincent, wanted to let you and your listeners know that I continue to walk normally on left foot with no pain. Wow, Jim, this is our dear brother that we met. That's a miracle, Jim. God bless you, my friend. Jim had a broken bone in his foot. We prayed over it while we were in Tyler, Texas last week, and he's declaring that he still has no pain. Hallelujah. Let the Lord finish it up. And not only the foot, Jim, but all the other stuff that you've had to endure in your lifetime, because Jesus loves you and he desires to show himself to be a mighty God on your behalf. God bless you, Jim. All right, Brother Sean is out there today. Good morning, Sean. Good to see you. God bless you, my brother. You're a blessing to the body of Christ. You're certainly a blessing to Patricia and I. We love you with all of our hearts. Now, we have Chandra. Good morning to you and your sweet wife, Pastor Vincent. Good morning, Chandra, to you. And the Lord bless you. Shirley Woolsley, I believe we are living in the end of days. People are blinded to what is coming. That's right, because the wicked will not understand, but will continue to do wickedly. But we will understand. The wise will understand. Understand what's happening. Don't just look at it horizontally. Look at these things through the lens of Scripture, and we will know exactly what's going on. And it means we need to get prepared to walk through these difficult days. Sandra Matlow says, hi, how are you this morning? Sandra, I'm doing great, and I trust you're doing good as well. And so there are some of the comments. I've got a number of calls coming in right now, so let's begin to take some of these calls. Our first call is coming in from area code 605. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, yes. It's South Dakota calling in.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.
Yes, it's getting arranged, so I'm going to call you later and talk to you about that.
All right, and we're looking forward to it.
And when you brought out earlier in the broadcast, you brought out about how the tongue and the purification that's going on in the body of Christ, and the Lord just quickened that scripture to me about the molt that is in, you know, our own eye, and it's in the chapter 6 of Luke. And this purification that's going on, my question is this. Is this meaning spiritually, like we can get into self-righteousness ourselves when we've got things in our own life that God needs to cleanse out? And then here we're seeing this, and we're just talking about others all the time, and it's causing great division. And then about the blackout, it's almost over for America. We're on the downside, to my opinion.
Well, I think your opinion's right. And, you know, Kathy, in 2003, and by the way, yes, the tongue, the mote in the eye, the critical spirit, the fault-finding, the finger-pointing, all of that stuff is nonsense right now. It's part of the cleansing that is coming, and that's why we have to examine ourselves, no doubt. And that's a very sobering reality. But in 2003, when blowing my shofar, walking through the parks, I heard the Spirit of God say that America has crossed the point of no return. Do not pray for the nation. Pray for the saints of God within the nation that they will navigate through the storm that lies ahead. Kathy, 17 years have passed and America has not returned. We have gone beyond the point of no return and it will be broken. And this is all part of the prophetic picture. It has nothing to do with American patriotism. It has to do with the kingdom of God. And quite frankly, we, the saints of God belonging to the kingdom, we are to hasten and hurry the day of the Lord, because we know when the Lord comes, he shall send Jesus Christ and the millennial day will begin. So I totally agree with you. And we just need to be prepared, and people around the world. This isn't just in America. Remember what Candace said when she went to that Davos, Switzerland conference among the military personnel, that 2020 does not end without a global electrical outage. It's late in the hour, but the wise shall understand and prepare. A wise man foresees the storm, prepares himself, and is hid. God bless you. Any other comments, Kathy, that you would like to share?
Well, being with the people that the Lord has allowed me to have fellowship with in the past and so forth, and after all these years now, especially with the one prophet, Dimitri Duderman, and now seeing this happening in especially America, what God showed him is coming. There is no turning back, like you said. The king is coming, and he is going to have a bride that is going to be without spot and wrinkle, and that's why we're going through these things. And then the millennial reign, and all, like the other lady wrote in, you know, more information on that. I think that would be wonderful, because this would give people hope what God has planned for his people and for the world.
All day tomorrow in our broadcast, I'm going to be talking about the millennial kingdom. Absolutely, we're going to go there, Kathy. Excellent points. Yes, Dimitri Duderman, a prophet from Romania, Pastor David Wilkerson, and so many other voices rose up warning this nation long time ago about the things that we're living in right now. Thank God for the prophetic Holy Spirit in the mouth of the prophets today. Amen, and God bless you. God bless you, Kathy. And we'll look forward
Thank
to talking
you.
To you real soon. You are welcome. Shalom. All right, let's take our next call. Coming in 479-321. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hello, Pastor.
Hello, Phil. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. I like Kathy's choice of words about blackout, because I kind of wonder if instead of an EMP, they might just use software bugs. It's already there from Chinese equipment in our, you know, like the transformers and all the power grid. But that brings up Texas. Texas is on their own power grid, the only state in the nation that has its own. So what are they going to do with Texas? And I don't think they want to destroy our power grid completely. They want people, like maybe people in Apple, to be able to run all of their programs and make the devices that the Chinese want. And, Facebook or Google or whatever, some of those are already operating under deep state influences like China does. So I just kind of wonder if they want to find a temporary shutdown of our power grid.
You know, that's an excellent question. You know how I see that, Phil? I see that the in order for the enemy to accomplish his goals, he's got to you have to remove the old system. You have to break the old system, the economic system, the finance, you know, all of the different systems, the power grid systems. And waiting in the backdrop are these 5G towers. And these 5G towers are probably going to be built all over the world out of the darkness. And these 5G towers are going to bring everybody's life right out into the open under the microscope of this global oligarchy of satanic principalities and powers. And most likely, when the lights go out, there will be the breaking of an old system and an old electrical power grid system, and then will rise the new one in the hands of the king of the earth, Satan, Lucifer, who will begin his 3.5-year great global tribulation. So that's how close we really are. I think you bring up an excellent point.
Yeah. You brought up a good one, too. It may be with 5G, they're kind of waiting for America to build out their 5G network.
Yeah, because it's global, isn't it? It's a whole global system. They have to collapse the dollar. The whole economic system has to change. The as you're looking, government systems have to change. There's a reinventing of everything that's moving towards the Great Tribulation and the Antichrist, who we know is Lucifer. And so it's being built all around us, isn't it?
It is. It is.
And with artificial intelligence to boot.
Yeah. Yeah. Computers always fascinated me, even the simplicity of it. Because the first computers, just all they do really is they work on a binary system, which is zero and one. So it races through all these positions, and it checks to see if the zero, which is off, or a one, which is on. And with that, they spell words and numbers and whatever. But the simplicity of computers, the basics anyway, is very interesting.
Yeah, that is very interesting.
5G tower, the 5G towers, I think, I've got to work that over more once they build out here. Good point.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right.
I'll let you go. I just kind of got intrigued by Kathy saying blackout instead of EMP.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, and that's an awakening, Phil. It really is an awakening when we hear about blackouts, because that is computer generated, software generated, and people I think went, ooh, there's another way to do this. Let's take our next call coming in, 479-903. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hello, Pastor.
Is that the voice of our elder? Yes, sir.
You know, you talk back. I'm just thinking about the technology issue. I've got hanging down here a telephone on the wall that you have to crank with a thing on a line, and you get so many rings, and then you can talk to somebody. But when going into technology, in 1958, when I first worked on the first solid-state computer, that was in 58, but up until 91, we had difficulties in getting any further in development. But then, look, I'm sitting out here 120, 200 miles from any radio or any big city out here in the boonies, and I can watch you on the television set. I can talk to you with my cell phone here, and technology has so advanced rapidly in the last, and it's all being going to be used, like you just were talking about the 5G, all that stuff is all technology that's just been developed in the last 20 years.
Amazing. Talk about exponential growth, huh, George?
Nonetheless, it's just amazing. When I sit out here and I'm thinking about, I got down there on a good old telephone where you had to crank to talk to somebody on the line. You'd get six rings. That was me. If it was somebody else, four rings. I wasn't able to listen to everybody talk on them. Technology has sure fun. And the enemy is the one using it when he uses it. But we also are very thankful that you're using this technology to get the word out around the world while we have the opportunity to.
Thank you, Elder George. God bless your heart, my friend. Can't wait to be seeing you real soon, probably in the nick of time. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
My brother, George, God bless you. We miss you so much here at New Wine Ministries, and you be safe. Continue your journey, and I'll look forward to talking with you. We're going to be up in your neck of the woods in the middle of July. We're going to South Dakota for some conference out there with some of the saints, and maybe we'll swing by and say hi. You never know, George. What do you think?
That would be a good thing. You're
all right.
Always invited. Quiet here.
Yeah, we could use a few days of nice and quiet. Sounds good to me.
Amen.
All right, my brother. We love you so much, George. God bless you, and thank you for your input into the broadcast. God bless you.
Amen. Praise
all
the
right.
Lord.
Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Hey, Sean's saying, buenos dias. Amen, Kathy, the bridegroom is coming. You know what? He is coming. Our King is coming. I need to do a little bit of house cleaning right now, if you don't mind. We've got a few minutes left in the broadcast. Again, if anybody is out there that did not hear the beginning of this week on Tuesday when I came on the air, I gave thanks to a number of people who supported our trip to Tyler, Texas. We had, as you could tell, talking with Jim, we had a successful trip. We're going to be heading back down there, and I know that some of those saints are going to come up and say hello to all of us. And so we will be connecting. But you made the trip possible through your support. We're coming to the end of the month. This is when all the bills accumulate for our ministry and our lives. And so if this ministry is valuable to you and you would like to support it financially, I would ask you to do so by sending your gift. And you could do that at the on screen if you're looking at the YouTube and Facebook. Don't run away yet. It's okay. This is just if you have a desire to support the ministry and you want to just out of the liberty of your heart and the goodness of your heart and your godly desire to say, you know, I want to support that ministry. Then make sure you go to our website at nwmglobal.org. And at NWM, that stands for New Wine Ministry, by the way, nwmglobal.org. You could go to our donation tab and give there. And also, you could go to a ministry app. And I love this ministry app. It's Church by Ministry. And it's an app. You can get it on your phone or your computer. So Church by Ministry 1. Church by Ministry 1. And that app to find us is so simple. It's a zip code, 72715. You could also donate to the ministry on by a text. You could actually go to your phone. You could send out a text to 41088 Omega, 41088 Omega, and then you type in the word give, and it'll take you to the process. The easiest way, if you have a computer or you have access to the internet on your phone, is going to nwmglobal.org, because that's our website where you can see a lot of stuff that we're doing here for the most part. nwmglobal.org. That's under the donations tab. And again, thank you for your support, your financial support. It's a blessing to us. And maybe you say, well, they don't have a project going on. I just want to bless the ministry. May God bless you, and may God supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, spirit, soul, and body. You know, I've learned a long time ago that when we give financially, we also get a spiritual blessing according to the word of God. He'll multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. And God loves a cheerful giver and a liberal giver. We wouldn't expect any other kind of offering. So may God bless you in your giving. We thank you for it. In a couple of weeks, today is the 25th, by the way, you've heard me talk about Mr. B, my incredible father-in-law, who I miss with all my heart. He lived to be 100 years old. Today is his birthday. He would have been 103. So happy birthday, Mr. B. And to everybody that remembers his life, he was such a blessing. And Patricia's father, my beloved wife, Patricia's dad, lived to be 100 years old. Absolutely amazing. Today is his birthday. We have another big birthday coming up this weekend, Sunday, June 28th. Our brother, pastor, prophet, Michael Villarin, is going to be turning, well, I'm not going to tell anybody without his permission, but it's his birthday. So we pray for some special things for Brother Michael. I think we did last night in Bible study, and his rib hurt. I wonder what God's doing there. All right, so we're waiting for your call. If you'd like to call into the broadcast, the number to call is 818-369-0326, 818-369-0326. A few more comments. Sandra's saying happy birthday to Mr. B. And Sandra's also saying, this is Sandra Matlow, all these signs are showing us that Jesus Christ is coming back very soon. I agree. And I preach it to everyone I come into contact with. And he said, go in all the world, preach the gospel, his word. And she does. Good for you, Sandra, and happy birthday to Mr. B. Get out there, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got a few more minutes here, okay? And if you would like to call in, you have a question or comment, I hope today's broadcast was useful and helpful. Tomorrow, I will make sure that we get into what the scriptures say about the 1,000-year millennial reign. Is it just some esoterical thought? Is it some symbolized thing? Or is there an actual time coming when Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, who we all believe in, will actually return to this earth? He will actually return and set up his kingdom, and he will rule from Jerusalem, and his government will be all over the world. We think it's pretty cool to have President Trump in the highest office in the United States and his cabinet. Well, Jesus Christ has a cabinet too. And I believe it's not just those of us that are here right now. This government is going to involve the original disciples, the apostles. They're going to rule and reign with him. I believe there's in the resurrection and in the absolute transformation, in the catching away in the harpazo, we're going to be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, we're going to get glorified bodies that can never die. You mean we're going to be ruling and reigning in glorified bodies with no sickness, disease, or death? Oh, mamma mia, I believe it's true. I think we should really strive to be a part of that cabinet of the king and to be one of those governors governing cities during the millennial reign of Christ. Oh, we'll be singing, it's our turn now. And this sin-sick, global, demonic thing will ultimately come to its end. It will gnaw its tongue, and it will come to an end. I guarantee it. And Babylon will be destroyed. The mother will be gone forever. There'll never be another repeat, ladies and gentlemen. We're living for this time, but we've got to run the race, endure to the end, to make sure we win the prize so that we can be qualified to be a part of that glorious reality in the bride of Christ, the Lamb's wedding, the supper of the Lamb, and all the other glorious things that are going to go on before the Bema seat. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. God bless each and every one of you. We got 3 minutes. Sandra's saying she listens to every day on Facebook and on KERM Radio. Sandra, God bless you. I don't know where you're calling from or where you're listening from, but God bless you and thank you for honoring the ministry in that way. We sure do appreciate it, and we are thankful for every person out there, and we pray that you are being blessed, that you're getting together in a community of believers with like mind, that you're getting some land, you're planting some gardens, digging some wells, getting some shelter, doing things that maybe Noah would have done and his community of believers. Prepared. Get prepared. And then if at all, let's see what Scarlett is saying. This message today was sobering and was so yesterday's. I need to now without delay, physically, spiritually, thank you for your ministry. May you be blessed. Thank you, Scarlett. It's true. And while we're in, watch this, while we're in the Goshen, because we've prepared and we're all gathered together in our different places, guess what we're going to do for 3.5 years? We're going to be studying the Word of God with a revelation of the Holy Spirit like we've never known. Remember, in the assemblies where God's people gather together, remember Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5, upon every place and upon her assemblies, there'll be a cloud by day, a fire by night, and God will put his glory on every dwelling place, and he's going to set a defense around the glory. It's all about being in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people. Right now. Sister Sonia says, thank you, Pastor Vincent, for today's sessions. What a blessing. Lots of love to you, my brother, and my sister Patricia. Shalom. May his kingdom come and his will be done forever and ever. Yes and amen. Sonia, we still have lots of work to do. Let's continue to go forward and pray what the Lord wants and how he wants it accomplished. God bless everybody out there. We're going to say goodbye for now. Thank you for considering a donation. And remember, like Vinny Pots and Pans always says, give a thumbs up. I think that's what Vinny says. Thumbs up. Say, I like it. Okay. Right now on Omega Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you go to omegaradio.org, there's a roundtable discussion with my beloved wife, Patricia Joy, out of her book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. Until we meet again, shalom, everybody. I hope you'll go there right now.